Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. Indeed, for those of you who were listening to this, who are listening from home, you probably heard a fire truck going by. That is what we call going live. Amen?
Amen.
This is exactly what it means to be in the parking lot and waiting for things to happen. We pray indeed that the families who have been impacted by whatever is happening with that fire truck will be okay, and we will pray for them. Brothers and sisters, I am Pastor Eliezer. I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Frederick, Maryland. We are indeed glad you're with us. For those of you who are in the parking lot, we are glad indeed that you're coming to be with us and that we're able to still do this outside. I think it's a great blessing. Would you agree with me? If you do, please honk your horn. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to be together, even if it's at a distance, but at least to be together praising God and giving God the glory and honor that God deserves. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, we have been doing this for a while, and we will continue to do this as long as we are able to do it outside. Amen. When we're not able to do it outside, we'll be working inside and doing live streaming from the inside of the sanctuary. For we want to indeed continue to be in connection with you and connected as a community. I know that this is a difficult time, of course, for all of us as we like to be in community, as we like to be inside, as we like to be together and talk and so on. And it's a challenging thing to do this the way we are doing it. But I know that God is blessing us, and I know that God is touching lives even through this venue. And I'm hoping indeed that you continue to connect with us so that you can continue to experience with us the blessings that God has for all of us. As we are trying to do this, we're trying to keep everyone safe. As we know, the cases of COVID have been going up, and we want to have you be healthy and safe. And so we will continue to do that and strive again for this to be the way we do things until we are able to change it and be together, worshiping face to face. For those of you who are also interested in our studies and the things we're doing in the church, please connect with us. Pastor Mark says very well, and I like the way he describes our web address, which is www.trinityfrederick.org. If you would like to connect with us and see the things that are happening, please do that. Connect with us. Check our website and see the studies we're doing, see the things that we're trying to do to maintain our connection, to continue to grow together, to continue to experience faith together. We believe that God is using all these venues, all these platforms to be able to convey to you God's message. And we hope indeed that you'll be able to connect with us. This is, of course, something we're doing via YouTube, but we're also connecting via Facebook, and we're also doing Zoom so that we can have our studies and we can have our meetings and gatherings via Zoom. So please, if you're willing or interested in connecting, please do that. Connect with us. We are doing also the Advent study, and the Advent study for this season is Making Room. It was written by Reverend Ed Robb, and it's definitely an experience for all of us to come together to continue to grow. Our grow time tonight is going to start the study. So please, if you want to connect with that study tonight, please make sure you connect with the study that we're having this evening. If you would like to do it tomorrow we'll have the study also at 7 o'clock. So it's going to be 4 Mondays, as it's going to be 4 Sundays of the study of Making Room. This is a wonderful resource. We will be exploring the concept of hospitality as a Christmas experience. And as part of that, we will be interacting with the Holy Family, the shepherds, and the Magi. In this process, we will be learning together about what it means to make room for God in our lives and what it means to make room for other people in our lives as well. So, my brothers and sisters, come and join us.
Yes.
as we experience the grace of God. If you see the like button at the bottom of the screen where you see watching this video, please make sure you hit that button. Let us know you like it. It looks like this, something like this. So that's the one we want. The other one, we don't know. you can completely forget about that one. We want you to be connected to us. And if you believe that there is something that is important for us to know about you, please write us a comment in the comment section. If you have a prayer request, please share that prayer request in the prayer section, in the comment section. If you don't feel comfortable by sharing that publicly in the comment section, please give us a call or write us an email to our church so that we can continue praying with you for whatever situation you're experiencing, whatever challenges you're having. We want to be connected with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, may God bless us as we worship God's holy name together.
For our scripture reading, the first one is coming out of the book of Psalm, chapter 133. And thus it reads, "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore." Our second scripture reading is coming from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 7 through 14. And thus it reads, "When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place.' And then in disgrace, you will start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second reading from the gospel comes from the gospel of Luke. In his chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Thus reads the word of God. "In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds, at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise be to the Lord indeed.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as we come to this point, for our reflection this morning, for meditation this morning, remember that we're basing this as the series that we're going to be studying from Making Room by, and so this season, of course, is going to be focusing on that, and so our meditations will be focusing on that aspect of this study that we're going to be doing. And of course, we'll be touching different things, of course, because it's part of the nature of preaching, doing something different as we prepare for this season. As we come to this point, we have found from the gospel has called us to remember the story of what Jesus, how Jesus was born. And so we're told the story of how Jesus been born in this interesting place, called the inn, or in the case of what we read many times in the stable. But I think that there is something more that we need to be reminded as we read this passage, because there's sometimes you know, I find that we superimpose things on the things we read from the Bible, and so just a little bit of that we're going to be addressing this morning, as we touch on what this passage is about. But before we do that, would you please join me in prayer? Blessed God, we pray that you may open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you indeed speak to us this morning in whatever way you want to speak, Lord. We know you have something to say to us, Lord, and we pray that your word come into our hearts, O God, that we may indeed hear your word and understand what your desire for our lives is, Lord. Bless us, O God, with your Holy Spirit, with your wisdom, with your guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen. And I know you are in the cards, I know you are at home or someplace, but would you please repeat after me? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. Amen. So chapter 2 of Luke addresses a wonderful story we have read so many times and we have heard in so many different ways throughout our lives in the Christian church. This is a story, of course, that helps us to hear what is happening with Christmas, the day that we celebrate, of course, the birth of our Savior. Here we're told that Mary and Joseph have gone to the city of Bethlehem, or to the town of Bethlehem, because they were supposed to be there because Joseph is a descendant of David, and because he's a descendant of David, he was supposed to go back to Bethlehem to be counted in this counting, this registration that the emperor had demanded in the empire. Now, in the story, of course, we find that we have usually tend to bring this story to the inn, and that for some reason there was no room for them in the inn. And sometimes we sort of have the sense of that the inn is something like what we understand for an inn in our view of the world, right? So usually when we hear about an inn, we even go as far as the Middle Ages to hear about the inn is a place for people to stay. It's like a hotel, right? Where people come and they're traveling and they will stay at an inn because that's what people did, right? And so we have that mindset that this is what this story is about, and that the family, the Holy Family, is actually going to stay at an inn in Bethlehem. Now, it's a little bit difficult to grasp because, you know, we have been sort of, you know, grasping this idea or told this idea for so many years that this is what it is. But you need to understand that in Bethlehem, there were no inns to go in. There were no hotels in the first century Bethlehem. Bethlehem was just a little village. And so as a little village, it were not exactly places for people to stay and spend some vacation time, or, you know, come in and visiting as they were, you know, moving from point A to point B. And so they will just stay in the inn. And so, of course, we know that this place was full because there were people coming from different parts of the countryside to their town because, of course, they were supposed to be registered, as we're told. But we get the confusion that somehow the innkeepers did not bring them into the inn because, of course, they were full, as if this was a place for people to stay. I'm highlighting this because, you know, so many times we have placed so much attention on the innkeeper or the people who, you know, maintain the inn. And I tell you this because I remember when I was a young man, we were working on a play. And the play we were working at was precisely about the bad innkeeper who did not want to let Mary and Joseph in, even though she was pregnant and having a child. And so, and of course, it was a whole story about, you know, how God worked things through, and finally the innkeeper just, you know, gave up and begrudgingly let them in. I need you to understand that there is no such thing in this story. And I know this might be just, you know, difficult to grasp, but I need you to hear me, right? Because there is no such thing in this story. There is no begrudging. There is no rejection. There is no desire to not help this couple. As a matter of fact, what we hear from the story, especially when we go to the first century reality, is that most likely Mary and Joseph, as many of the people who were coming to the town of Bethlehem, will be staying with somebody who was either a relative or just people who will open their homes to them. And so as we hear the story, then it starts to make a different sense, right? For it's no longer a matter of, you know, going to a place to stay at a place. Now these are either family or friends who actually have opened their homes. Now the other confusion sometimes we have with the story is that we have that the Jesus went and Mary and Joseph had to have Jesus in the stable, right? And again, sometimes so we and even in movies we see that the picture we have is that going into a stable, which is just next door, or is on a mountain, is or in a cave, and there, that's where the animals were kept, and so that Jesus will go into that place, or Mary and Joseph go into that place to have Jesus to be born. But the reality is that in the ancient world, especially in the first century Palestine, the reality is that families will have their homes, and in their homes, at the bottom of the house, they will actually keep the animals. And it was not like they had a lot of animals. It was just, you know, a few animals, right? So, and those were families who had some means will keep the animals on the first floor, and the families will live on the second floor. So this is where they were live and sleep and so on. So the living quarters will be in upstairs. And there usually will have, if they have, you know, more means, they will usually have a room designated as the guest room. So when the story tells us that there was no room in the inn, in the Greek, the word that is used is that there was no room for them in the house because the guest room was already taken, because there were so many people in town that they were already occupied. And so in the story we find not again a rejection of Mary and Joseph because they were pregnant, or the inn was full, but actually a story that tells us that the house was full already, and the family actually asked them to stay in the bottom part, on the lower part of the house, where the animals were indeed. But it was also part of where people will stay when the house was full, right? Because there was not a whole lot of space or room in the house. So the only available space will be that section at the lower section of the house. Now, why am I telling you the story? Why am I trying to convey this to you? Because I think that sometimes we need to hear the story with a clear understanding of what the picture here is, what the scripture is describing. Because you see, the people who are opening their homes to Mary and Joseph are indeed welcoming this couple. They're giving them what they have. They're giving them what they have at that moment, because they've already been giving to somebody else the other room that they had available, if they had another room available. They're giving then from what they have. They're giving to Mary and Joseph so that Mary and Joseph can come and stay with them. Now, we're told in the story, of course, then, that it is at this time that then the baby is going to be born. And Mary goes into labor. And so we have, the welcoming of the families who welcome the Holy Family into their home. But now we have, of course, this interesting story where Mary is having her baby. And this Jesus is going to be born in a stable. And of course, because the only thing available was the manger, so the child is placed in this wonderful basket, which was the trough for the animals to feed, right? As we are told the story, then we are told that the angels have come out. Now, I just find it fascinating that the angels is at this point that they have come out and they're announcing the birthday of Jesus, the birthday of the Savior, the birthday of the Messiah. And so they're announcing this wonderful experience, this wonderful event that is taking place. And the angels are saying, God has sent us to you to tell you that the Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Your Savior, your Messiah has been born. So the angels are now exploding, and we have this wonderful showing off of God here through the angels, telling the story that this is happening, and this has all been done for you. Imagine that. Imagine that. This has all been done for you. So as we hear the angels telling this to the shepherds, as I mentioned to you some time ago, I need you to be reminded again. Remember, the shepherds were not exactly the nice people in town. Amen? I need you to understand that clearly, because you see, it's important that we understand that God did not send the angels to the powerful and the mighty. God did not send the angels to those who make decisions and have power. God sent the angels to the least of the people of Israel. To the least. To the ones who were not considered for much. To the ones who will not be accepted to give testimony in the courts because they were not reliable. And so automatically will be counted out. These are the people who lived in uncleanliness, and therefore they lived most of their lives as unholy people. These are the people that the angels came to. These are the shepherds. Those whom the crowd will not see with good eyes when they were coming into town. Not only because it will be smelly, but also because they were impure. And so it is to those people that the angel makes the announcement. It's to those people that the good news has been declared. Imagine that. Think of who you are. Have the good news came to you because you were powerful and mighty? Have the good news come to you because you were simply someone that God loved and wanted you to hear the good news of salvation? But that's not all. Right? That's not all, because the story has not finished there. It's not ended there. Once the angels are gone, then we're told that the shepherds decided, well, let's go down to the city and let's go down to the village and see what's happening and, you know, what is this thing that we have been told by the angels. And so they just go down to visit. Now, can you imagine having just given birth and then having this crowd of, again, not the most, welcome people into a community, come to visit with you. In not the most comfortable of conditions, amen? And they come to visit. Now, Mary and Joseph could have said to them, you know what, you know, it just happened. Could you come tomorrow or in 2 days or so? Let's just give a rest to my wife and give a rest to the child. But that's not what happened either. See, we're told that Mary and Joseph welcomed them. That they welcomed the shepherds who came. Mary and Joseph knew who they were, but they were welcomed by the Holy Family. The Holy Family indeed opened their doors to welcome the riffraff. The Holy Family opened their doors to welcome these rugged people. This dirty people, this smelly people. The Holy Family opened their doors to welcome people who were unclean. Not only physically, but also in terms of the liturgy of the Israel's, right? How they considered people to be clean or unclean. So the Holy Family opened themselves to welcome people who were not considered to be the best in the community. And so they told the story. This is what the angels told us. Now everybody who was with Mary and Joseph, everybody who was in the household, heard the stories and they were amazed. It's like you can imagine, oh my God, is this really happening? Is this really the child that we have been waiting for? Is this really the child that we have been expecting? Is this the promise of God being fulfilled? And so the people in the house were amazed. And we're told that Mary was keeping all these stories in her heart. And she was thinking about what was this? What was this? What all this means? And then we're told that the shepherds left. And as they left, they were praising God and they were giving thanks to God. Wouldn't you do that too? Amen? Wouldn't we all be glorifying God as we have heard the story that the Messiah has been born, that our Savior is here for us, and that we have received indeed the gift from this God to welcome the Savior of our lives. Now, this is a story about welcoming, and this is a story about hospitality. And as we delve into the story, we find, of course, that God welcomes the ones who are not welcome anywhere else, the shepherds. Not only is God welcoming them, God places them in the first row. Amen? God places them in the first row. They're the first one to be welcomed, the most despised, the most marginalized people in Israel. And then, of course, we find that they're giving indeed hospitality when they come to the Holy Family, where the Holy Family was staying. As you can tell from the story, you can also see how the families who were around sought to help Mary and Joseph. For you see, they were inside the house. They were there for them. Sometimes we just don't see them because we're not reading the story. And sometimes we have not been told that they were there. But there were people who were there helping Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Because you see, we cannot live by ourselves, right? We need each other. Amen? We need each other. In the last several months, we have experienced something that we have not experienced in 100 years. We have experienced a global pandemic that has wreaked havoc in many of our communities and has impacted millions of people around the world. Millions of people in our own country have been impacted by this. And if something has come out of this experience, it's the deep desire for connection that people have. We need each other, and we need the connection with other human beings. See, the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph in this story is the story about how God welcomes us in, how we are welcome into God's presence, and how we can work together like the shepherds did, like the families who were there for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph at the house where Joseph and Mary were staying. See, they needed to go to a place where they could stay, and they found someone who opened their door for them to come in. We need each other. We need each other's presence. We need each other's words. We need to hug people. Amen. Amen? We need to hug people. I know that many times, you know, we hear the stories that, you know, we can do it on our own. We can live and survive on our own as if this is something that is actually possible. But if anything we have experienced in life is that we actually need the other human being that is next to us. We need each other to survive. We need to be there for each other in the midst of this pandemic. In the midst of the challenges that this situation has brought to us, if anything we have discovered is that we need each other. Just a little bit of statistics, because of course nowadays, you know, we can't live without statistics. We are experiencing a hike in the cases of people committing suicide across the world and in the U.S. as well. Numbers of people committing suicide has increased. Here in Frederick, we have the numbers of families being impacted by violence have also increased. We are talking about an increase of, the double of numbers of violent situations at homes with spousal abuse and child abuse have double or triple here in Frederick alone. We have the number of people who are also homeless has also increased because they have lost jobs and so on. We have people who are, the number of people who have increased in the use of drugs and alcohol has also increased due to this experience we're having with the pandemic. People are dying because they need the human contact and they're not able to connect. A lot of people will be dying, not because they contract the virus, but actually because they're dying of despair. Many people in our midst are dying of despair today. The story we just read reminds us again that God is a God who welcomes the stranger, who welcomes those who are hopeless, who welcomes those who have no room anywhere else. And this God is available to them and to all of us. But this is also the same God who is calling on us to welcome the stranger, to welcome those who are suffering, who are experiencing challenges in their lives. Now, I understand that you probably are experiencing the same things. And you probably will be, some people might be thinking, I need that attention. I need that help. But let me tell you this. Maybe God is calling you to be the one who offers the helping hand so that you can receive the blessing of God of also being helped. You understand, right? Sometimes we need to be the ones who love so that the other can love us back. See, I believe that God is calling on all of us, especially in the situation we're living in today, to go out and love the people around us. I mean, I know I tell you this all the time. Amen. I know I talk about love all the time because I think it's central to the Christian message. But I am really telling you, my brothers and sisters, we need to go out and love the people around us. Let them experience the love of God through us. And as we do that, you will also experience the love of God and the connection that we make with the other human being. You don't need to forget your mask. You know what I mean? You don't need to forget about social distancing. But to show love and to show compassion, you only need to offer yourself to the other who is out there, who is in need of God's presence, and God's presence comes through you. You hear me, right? God's presence comes through you. See, we are God's vessels in this planet, and God uses you and I to bless others. God uses you and I to show God's love to the world. Today, as we experience a sense of separation, as we experience a sense of being apart from each other, from a community of love and care and compassion, we know that this is going to have a huge impact in our communities, as it's already happening. We know that the idea of an individual as a separate being, as a separate entity who lives all by himself or herself, is not a reality, for we have been called to be in community. We are social people. That's why we create social organizations. We are beings who need the other to survive, to live. It might not make sense to you, for we live in this cultural context. But indeed, as we look at the scripture, we do find that we need each other. It might not make sense, but I need you. I need you. I need you to be the human being that God wants me to be. Without you, I cannot make it. Without you, I cannot make it. Without each other, we cannot make it. Only by working together, only by being the community that God desires for us to be, we can get through this experience of isolation and in separation. The agony that is causing in our communities and in the world around us, it is already palpable. My brothers and sisters, we are wired for human connection. It is already in our DNA. We are wired for that. We need each other. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of this powerful song that was written by David Frazier. And it's a song that we have heard in the past, but I thought it will be good to hear the words of this wonderful and powerful song. I need you. You need me. We're all part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I need you. You need me. We're all part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you, and I need you to survive. My brothers and sisters, we need each other. And we need each other to be able to confront what is coming to us. For I believe that this pandemic has done a huge damage to our society and our relations, compounded by the reality of how we believe that we can survive on our own, when in reality, everything around us tells us that we need each other to live and to thrive in our communities. The story of Mary and the Holy Family, the story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, is a story that reminds us how God welcomes us in and how God welcomes even the least. The most unwelcome people are welcomed by God, and so you have been welcomed by that same God. Not because you're special, not because you are the wonderful person you are, but because God loves us. Because God loves us and this God wants the best for each and every one of us. Amen. And amen.